Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful special. And it is now time to turn the pulpit over to my brother, who travels many a miles every week. And I think that he has set the bar high for those that do not live too close to the local. And I really appreciate the dedication that him and his wife have to be able to make it here on the weekends to fellowship and to listen to the sermons and to be close to their brothers and sisters. And I'm thankful that I have him as brother. He has been a mentor in my life, and I'm really thankful for the Lord bringing him to me. And I know that our brother is prepared for this evening to be able to provide a message for you on this beautiful evening that we have here, and that if anybody asked him to travel a mile, he would go hundreds for you. He has proven that time and time again. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our brother and our elder, Jim Yates.
Thank you, Gary. Good evening to each and every one of you. I'm happy to be here, and I have a poem to start to read. And I know that most everybody my age or older will know the poem, because it's something we had to learn in school. And it goes like this. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon will be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their head. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap. 'Tis the night before Christmas, and that's going to be the title of my sermon tonight, The Night Before Christmas, A Tale of Three Cities, or of Two Continents, for those who are literary geniuses that know of old literature. There are two of them. The poem was written in 1823. It's argued on who wrote it. I learned it as Clement Clark Moore, but now they're saying that a Henry Livingston Jr. may have also penned it. So you'll see it written out there in two different authors' names, but it was published in 1824. So, 'tis the night before Christmas. And what's so important about tonight? One is when Christ came the first time, as in the time of Noah's flood, people were just living. They were just doing everything that they normally did. As the poem said, they were doing their normal stuff. They had already prepared for Christmas, and they were just settling down when something happened. Came in with a clatter. When Christ came, it was a big affair. And in some places, it was a clatter. Much like his second coming will be, with a great announcement. So I'm going to start this evening, and I'm going to do it this way. We're going to go to 3rd Nephi. First chapter, page 600. If you want to follow along, I'm going to start with the fifth verse, but I'm going to throw in this little thing. It was a night before Christmas, but there were some who began to say that the time was past for the words to be fulfilled, which were spoken of by Samuel the Lamanite. And I had to chuckle. It's too bad we don't live stream our adult Sunday school class, because half my sermon was already written when some of the questions happened tonight or this morning. So I didn't write it because of the questions. I already had them written in. But I will attempt in my way of answering some of those questions. And they began to rejoice over their brethren, saying, Behold, the time is past, and the words of Samuel are not fulfilled. Therefore, your joy and your faith concerning these things were in vain. So I'd like to hold your spot there. We're going to come back and we're going to finish this story. But let's turn over into Helaman in the fifth chapter. And let's read what Samuel the Lamanite was telling him. On page 591, Helaman, the fifth chapter, we're going to start the 54th verse and read through the 68th verse, and then drop down and read the 75th to the 82nd. And now it came to pass that Samuel the Lamanite did prophesy a great many things which cannot be written. And behold, he said unto them, Behold, I will give unto you a sign. For 5 years more cometh, before then cometh the Son of God to redeem all those who shall believe on him. And behold, this will I give unto you a sign, that the time of his coming, for behold, there shall be a great light in the heavens, insomuch that the night before he cometh, there shall be no darkness, insomuch that it shall appear unto to man as if it were day. Therefore there shall be no day and a night. Therefore there shall be one day and a night and a day as if it was one day. And there'll be no night, and this shall be unto you a sign, for ye shall know of the rising of the sun and also of the setting. Hold your place there. I want to turn over into John in the Bible, in chapter 8. And I believe this is why there was that light. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus is speaking. He said, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I believe that there was no darkness on this continent because it was a sign to them that Christ, the light of the world, was coming into to the world. He who gave the world, who created it, who made everything, was coming down to take upon himself flesh. And he is the light of this world. And that's why there was no darkness here. Because this was the day before his birth. And they were bemoaning the fact, and we'll see as the story goes on in the Book of Mormon, the fact that he wasn't coming here first to show himself unto them. Not fully understanding the fact that he had to fulfill all the prophecies that were given, which they had many of them, including of Isaiah. So he had to be born where he was born, so that he could fulfill all the prophecies that were written about him. Third Nephi puts it in a little clearer way on page 632. Third Nephi, the fifth chapter, starting with verse 11. This is Christ appearing here for the first time. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hands and spoke unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testify should come into the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world. And I have drunk out of that bitter cup that the Father has given me, and have glorified the Father in taking up upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, the whole multitude fell to the earth, and they remembered that it was that it had been prophesied among them that Christ should show himself unto them after his ascension into heaven. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise and come forth unto me, that ye may thrust your hands in my side, and also that ye may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and my feet, that ye may know that I am the God of Israel, and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. And it came to pass that the multitude went forth and thrust their hands in his side, and did feel the prints of the nails in his hands. I wonder, if Christ would have came here first, would they have had the impact of that? Would they have had the impact of allowing them to see the things that he suffered at the hands of the Romans and of the house of Israel? And I've said this before, and it is a strong belief that I have, and I will probably say it until my last breath. Because it is prophesied that there are going to be those that will come to us saying that they're Christ. But what's the one thing that none of them can have? They can grow long hair. They can wear a robe. They can know the scriptures inside and out and tell you, as my uncle has said of a story when he was a young man, where the man said, I said this and I said that. But what's the one thing that none of them can have? Or any spirit that stands before you and says that I am the Christ? The scars. Those are his badge of honor for us. No other being or creature or spirit can show you the prints of the nail scars, or show you the wound in his side. They're his alone. He earned them. Think about that. He earned them for us. That's why he came into the world. And that's why he can stand and proclaim the things that he proclaimed to them when he came here. And they knew that the prophecy was fulfilled. And even as strong as that can be, just like the house of Israel, when they saw all the plagues that happened, how quickly we forget. And how quickly we want to go back to what we knew instead of look forward to what God has to offer us. But we have that promise, and we have that assurance that we can request those things of him. If any being ever stands in front of you and says, I am the Christ, if they don't show him to you, they're not him. They're a false Christ. They're a fake. Go back into Helaman. So when we come to the story here of the prophecies of Samuel, where he's telling them about the day and the night, and why I believe it was one solid day, because he was coming into the world. He said, therefore they shall know of a surety that there shall be 2 days and a night. Nevertheless, the night shall not be darkened, and it shall be the night before he is born. And behold, there shall be a new star arise, such a one has never beheld. And this also shall be a sign unto you. And behold, this is not all. There shall be many signs and wonders in the heavens. And it shall come to pass that they shall be amazed and wonder, insomuch that ye shall fall down to the earth. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall believe on the Son of God, the same shall have everlasting life. And behold, this has the Lord commanded me by his angels, that I should come and tell these things unto you. Yea, he has commanded that I should prophesy these things unto you. Yea, he has said unto me, cry unto this people, repent and prepare the way of the Lord. And now, because I am a Lamanite, and have spoken unto you the words which the Lord hath commanded me, because it is hard against you, you are angry with me, and seek to destroy me, and have cast me out from among you. And you shall hear my words. For this intent I have come up upon the wall of this city, that ye may hear and know the judgment of God, which do await you because of your iniquities, and also that ye might know of the conditions of your repentance. And also that ye may know of the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that the Father of heaven and of earth, the creator of all things from the beginning, that ye might know of the sign of his coming, in the intent that ye may believe on him, believe on his name. And if ye believe on his name, ye shall repent of all your sins, and therefore ye may have a remission of through his merits. And behold, again, another sign I'll give you, yea, a sign of his death. For behold, he must die, that salvation might come. Now let's drop down to the 75th verse and read 75 to 82, speaking of his death. But behold, as I said unto you concerning another sign, a sign of his death, behold, in that day he shall suffer death. The sun shall be darkened and refuse to give his light unto you, and also the moon and the stars. And there shall be no light upon the face of this land, even from the time that he shall suffer death, for the space of 3 days, to the time in which he shall rise again from the dead. Yea, at the time that he shall yield up the ghost, there shall be thunderings and lightnings for the space of many hours. And the earth shall shake and tremble, and the rocks which were upon the face of the earth, which are both above the earth and beneath, which ye know at this time is solid, or the more part of it is one solid mass, shall be broken up. Yea, they shall be rent in twain, and shall ever after be found in seams and in cracks, and were broken fragments upon the face of the whole earth. Yea, but above the earth and beneath the earth. And Adam spoke during the Sunday school, he talked about how out in the desert, there's these fragments of rocks that are jetted up. When you get a chance to drive between here and Kingman or Golden Valley, and you go up through Wickenburg, you'll go across some property, some land, and you can see that it's a lot of volcanic rock. But out there in the middle of all this black volcanic rock is a white thumb. Totally out of place. and you marvel at the fact that here's all these volcanic stuff around, and you can see where lava has flowed and where different things have happened that are strictly volcanic, to have this white, what looks, I haven't gone close to it, but it looks like it is white chalk. I believe that is part of this tempest. Something like that sticks out of my mind every time I read this. How things have changed. And I know it's not just here in the Southwest, it's everywhere in the world. That there's, especially in the Americas, where you can be going along and all of a sudden something sticks out. It's totally opposite of what's all around it. It talked about the darkness on this continent for three days. That showed his death. I'd like to turn over into Mark, the 15th chapter. So we can read what happened over in Jerusalem. Mark 15, 33, 35. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And that the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, 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 I'm not going to try to read the whole thing. Which is being interpreted as, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can also read, I believe, things similar in Alma, the 21st chapter, in a prophecy about this. But it, the fact that it was dark there too at his death, because the light of the world was taken away. And then all things had to go back to what God created in nature. The light of the world was removed, and then Christ told them that if he didn't leave, they couldn't receive the Comforter. So we were not left comfortless. We received the Holy Ghost to guide and direct us. Not the glory of the Son of God, not the light of the world, but yet a very powerful individual to guide and direct those that believed on him. Now let's go back into the finishing of the story in 3rd Nephi, back on page 600. So we see what Lamuel the Lamanite, Stephen has got me, and we'll see where we go from here. Starting with the 7th verse. And it came to pass that they did make a great uproar throughout the land, and the people who believed began to be very sorrowful, lest by any means those things which had been spoken may not come to pass. But behold, they did watch steadfastly for the day and that night and that day, which should be as one day, as if there was no light, that they may know that their faith had not been in vain. No matter how Satan tries to frustrate the workings of God, no matter how impatient we may become, we have the assurity that the Lord will show us the way. That he will see to the needs of his people. Sometimes in the middle of a personal spiritual battle, we may not be able to see that. We may not be able to feel it. But the Lord is there to show us the way. And it came to pass that excuse me. And now it came to pass that when Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw the wickedness of his people, his heart was exceedingly sorrowful. And it came to pass that he went out and bowed himself down upon the earth and cried mightily to his God in behalf of his people. Yea, those who were about to be destroyed because of their faith and their tradition of their fathers. And it came to pass that they cried mightily unto the Lord all that day. And behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, Lift up your head and be of good cheer. For behold, the time is at hand, and on this night shall the sign be given. And on the morrow come I into the world, to show unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my prophets. Behold, I come unto my own to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men from the foundation of the world, and to do the will both of the Father and of the Son, and of the Father because of me, and of the Son because of my flesh. And behold, the time is at hand, and the night shall be a sign. This night shall the sign be given. And it came to pass that the word which came unto Nephi were fulfilled accordingly as they had been spoken. For behold, at the going down of the sun, there was no darkness. And the people began to be astonished because there was no darkness when the night came. And there were many who had not believed on the words of the prophets, fell to the earth, and became as they were dead. For they knew the great plan of destruction which they had laid for those who believed in the word of the prophets. It had been frustrated, for the sign which had been given was already at hand. And they began to know that the Son of God must shortly appear. Yea, in fine, all the people upon the face of the whole earth, from the west to the east, both in the lands north and to the lands south, were exceedingly astonished that they fell to the earth. For they knew that the prophets had testified of these things for many years, and that the sign which had been given was already at hand. And they began to fear because of the iniquity of their unbelief. And it came to pass that there was no darkness in all that night, but it was as day, as though it is at midday. And it came to pass that the sun did rise in the morning, again according to the proper order, and he knew that it was the day that the Lord shall be born, because of the signs which had been given. And it had come to pass, yea, all things, every whit according to the words of the prophet. And it came to pass that a new star had appeared according to the word. And it came to pass that from this time forth there began to be lyings sent forth among the people by Satan to harden the hearts to the intent that they might not believe on those signs and wonders which they have heard. But notwithstanding those lyings and deceivings, and the more part of the people did believe, and they were converted unto the Lord. Isn't that interesting that Satan absolutely wasted no time to try to turn the truth into a lie? He had to waste no time because he had to go into Israel and he had to blind them to the truth. They had all the prophecies. Think about it. They had all the prophecies. They've been teaching it from their youth all the way up until the coming of Christ for hundreds and hundreds of years. They knew where he was going to be born. They knew about his lineage. They knew the things that he was going to accomplish. But yet, in all their knowledge of the scriptures, they didn't have faith. And they didn't believe. Even so much that in one of the scriptures I will read here, where they read them, they understood them, but yet they didn't necessarily believe them. So the tale of the first continent is it was prophesied hundreds of years before the coming of Christ. Even to down to 5 years, we know that Samuel stood on the wall 5 years before the prophecy was fulfilled. Even with our technology of the cell phones and texting, I can't believe that we can get information out about the dealings of God faster than what happened here. Because everybody was talking about it. The sun didn't go down. Our sun went down and it's light. They were discussing the prophecies. They were discussing what happened and what's going to happen next and where are we going to go from here. Everybody on this continent of the Americas knew that Christ was born. No discussion. They knew it. What a sign. Put yourself in their position. What do you think you would do? What do you think that you would believe? Woke up tomorrow morning, we had a prophecy. Something was going to happen, that the sun was going to rise, but it was still going to be midday light at midnight tomorrow. This isn't Alaska. It's not the land of the midnight sun. What a marvelous testimony of the coming of your Savior. Much like the testimony that the house of Israel had when Moses brought them out of Egypt. That's why we were warned to watch, therefore, and to be careful in our belief, in our faith, that we be not deceived. Like any good story, we're going to change over now into the Bible and look at the land of Israel. I'm going to start in Luke, the second chapter. The 8th verse to the 20th verse. It was the night before Christmas. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around and about them, and they were sore afraid. Hold that there. Think about that for a second. I don't believe that Christmas, December 25th, was the day that Christ was born. The day he was born is immaterial to me. The fact that he was is what's important. The fact that we remember the fact that God came down to be among us, to bring us salvation. That's what is important. A little bit of history. December 25th, in the year of 336 BC, no, AD, the Roman Emperor Constantine declared Christmas to be December 25th. 300 some odd years after Christ. A few years later, Pope Julius I officially declared that the birth of Christ would be celebrated on December 25th. That's where we have our Christmas from. And you can argue about the two different calendars between the Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar, because there's 15 days difference in a year between them about when it happened. But the shepherds were in the field by night. It was either spring or autumn, one or the other. Those of you who have been in Israel, you know this, but it's in the northern hemisphere. To put it into something that I could grab onto, since I've never been there, Jerusalem would be 116 miles south of Phoenix. So I like our desert. Or 32 miles south of Tucson. Their climate is what we have here. So when was he born? The shepherds were in the field. Had to be spring. I asked the question, does April 6th have anything to do with it? The day the church was founded. A lot of people like to pull things out of the scriptures as coincidental. I find that extremely coincidental. So here is the time frame. The shepherds were in their fields. Keeping watch over their sheep by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Lord Christ the Lord. Isaiah, in the 6th chapter, in the 9th verse, unto us a son is given, unto us a son is born. Here they are told that unto them the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, was born. And it shall be a sign unto you that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel of multitudes of the heaven's host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see these things which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they that had heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So once again, it wasn't just held by a few. They broadcasted it. They went out and told everybody they saw of the coming of the Messiah. It wasn't done in secret. It wasn't done as the night not happening, as sunlight for a day and a half. But it was done with the angels singing in heaven and then broadcasted by the shepherds. Turn with me over into Matthew, the second chapter. In many of these scriptures, I'll get to read again tomorrow. Because in my family, we have a tradition. To me, it's a good tradition. One I hope my children continue with their children. We sit down and we read the Christmas story before we open our gifts. So we might remember the reason why we give gifts to one another, because God first gave us a gift. That He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, as we read in John. Matthew, second chapter, starting with the first verse. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. They knew where he was going to be born. For this it is written by the prophets. They knew the prophecies that were going to be fulfilled. And they knew what the Messiah was supposed to bring. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquiring of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he went, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when thou hast found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the child was, the young child was. The star that they saw in the east went before them. Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem. But yet the star went before them. Was it a physical star that we call stars? Or was it an angel of the Lord? And I believe it was an angel of the Lord that went before them as a star to guide them to stand over the Christ child so that they could find him and worship him. Because it was in the east, they followed it to Jerusalem, and then they went south into Bethlehem. So the star moved. It was not stationary. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. It was with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed unto their own countries another way. Alma 16. Page 428. 207th verse to 208th verse. Also in Isaiah. We read this. Behold, I say unto you that I know that Christ shall come among the children of men, and take upon him the transgressions of the people, that they may that he shall atone for the sins of the world. For the Lord God has spoken it. For it is expedient that the atonement should be made. For according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind unavoidably should perish. And because of that promise right there, we had to have Christ in our life and in the world. And that's why he came, and that's why the Lord prophesied of his coming. And turn over to 2 Nephi, page 126. Excuse me, 128. 2 Nephi, the 9th chapter, 66th verse. Also in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Like we read in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And thus we have the tale of two continents. I thank you for your time.